welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is the singing on the streets of Paris as Notre Dame Cathedral was burning. The terrible, tragic fire that broke out at the historic cathedral that was built in 1063 caught on fire around the scaffolding where remodeling was being done and reconstruction of the cathedral. Here is a report. We're going to go to it now, the Canadian Broadcasting Network.
There is concern now over how much of the 850-year-old cathedral's priceless religious relics and works of art may have been lost to the flames.
This is a part of the UNESCO World Heritage Site of the banks of the Seine, which was inscribed in 1991, and it's one of the major, the emblematic building of this whole World Heritage Site. So for us, the question was, what is the stability of the building? What has gone? So at least two-thirds of the roof has gone, and so major damages must be inside.
There were so many concerns about the treasured religious relics and the pieces of art. Would they be lost? Would they be damaged? And it seems at this point that much, if not most, has been saved. Some of the things that they were able to save, can you explain the significance for us? Everyone is referring to the crown of thorns.
That would probably be the most important relic that they housed at the cathedral. This is the crown of thorns that Christ carried during his passion the first Good Friday some 2,000 years ago, or almost 2,000 years ago. And this was a relic that came into the hands of King Louis IX, Saint Louis, in the 13th century. And he had the Sainte-Chapelle close to the Notre Dame built for the purpose of housing these relics.
And that is a report from the Canadian Broadcasting Network covering the fire, that terrible fire that burnt through the famed cathedral in Paris, France. Many people, of course, have visited over the years. Millions and millions of people have visited this famed cathedral. We read from the beginning of our program from Isaiah 53, as we are celebrating Holy Week, as Easter is this weekend, and this Monday, Thursday, we remember Christ's death and burial and his resurrection for us, for all who would accept him as Christ and as Savior. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And with us on the phone is our good friend, author and historian Bill Fetter, who is also an advisor to the Ohio Christian Alliance and Christian Alliance of America, and who will be one of our speakers at our upcoming Freedom Banquet, which is Friday, May 10th at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton. You can actually go to our website to register for this event. We'll also have Congressman Bill Johnson. Bob France will be an MC. Other special guests will be there. We're featuring the D-Day Prayer Project, the effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. Bill, this has been a tumultuous week. Right after Palm Sunday, to turn on the TV and to see the images of this famed cathedral engulfed in flames, and at the time, no one knew that it would even be rescued. And many people were praying, and then the people of the in the streets of Paris were singing. It was a very moving moment. Your thoughts?
Yes. The concern is the large number of attacks on churches in France, in Paris, since February of this year. There's been dozens and dozens. And to common sense would say, gee, we see a pattern here. St. Denis, north of Paris, is where all of the kings of France are buried. Just a short time ago, within the last couple months, it was ransacked. The organ was smashed to pieces, and a lot of the holy things in there, feces smeared all around. St. Sulpice, the second biggest church in Paris after Notre Dame, was torched just a couple weeks ago. And all across France, they say that two churches a day are being vandalized in Paris. This is happening in Germany. Over 800 churches in Nigeria have been destroyed by Boko Haram. And you put this together with China bulldozing down churches. There is a mounting anti-Christian movement going, and I think this is a wake-up call. I do have a little bit of an insight after having written and studied for over a decade on the Islamic fundamental psyche. And that is this concept that dates all the way back to Muhammad, and it is, when your enemy is strong, retreat. When your enemy shows weakness, attack. Sort of the law of the jungle, right? If a lion's chasing a zebra and the zebra shows weakness and trips, does the lion pause or pounce? And so in Islamic history, whenever they have suffered major defeats, Battle of Tours, Battle of Lepanto, Battle of Malta, they would retreat and become less aggressive for a generation or two, sort of go into remission. And the non-Muslim world would view this as more peaceful. Then they would do some probing attacks. And if it was not responded to in strength, they would view that as an indicator to do another attack, and if the attacks kept being successful, it was almost like a blue light special at Kmart. It was almost like a whistle. It was like, come on, everybody. Allah has given us our enemies. And so
Bill,
from the peaceful stage to the violent stage.
Right. And I want to get to that, because there has been increased attacks against Christian sites in Europe, in France itself. That's been documented, and that's been part of the discussion, of course. It's unknown yet what may have caused the fire at Notre Dame Cathedral. And it could have, in fact, been a workplace. The reconstruction site could have been the place where the fire started. And that's unknown as of yet. It is a miracle that the main structure was saved, that many of the artifacts and antiquities were saved. Obviously an important historical and religious center of France. And recently, Sylvie and I, my wife, had an opportunity to visit England and France and to go to the Normandy beaches. And we'll talk about that in an upcoming program, as you're going to be our speaker for the D-Day Prayer Project. But when we visited there, talking to the people of Paris and the people of France, there actually is a revival, an evangelical revival among the youth right now. According to our tour guide, he was native French, and he was telling us that there was a spiritual awakening among young French. He called it an evangelical evangelism and revival that's going on. So there is something astir there. We've been praying for France for decades, for a revival. And one of the things that happened the other day watching this, where this they broke out in song, and I really believe that the French people themselves do not want to subjugate or lose their culture with an open borders mass immigration that's taken place, but they want to retain their culture and their way of life. And now I think it's an opportunity to even appeal to them spiritually. So we need to really be praying as Christians. And I agree with you, Bill, that there's no doubt that the elements of ISIS and the radical Islam has made its way into Europe. There's no question about that, that they have been conducting these attacks on churches and actually cemeteries where the war dead have been buried, and Jewish cemeteries and synagogues. There's been attacks by Islamists in Europe without question. I think in a way, and again, you've been masterful in educating us over the years on this with your book, What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran. But Macron, the president of France, and I think that sometimes they're a little hesitant to inflame what they might think to be a holy war that could get started if certain rhetoric is espoused. And, you know, reading your book with the Huguenots, where the Seine River, you know, at one time was filled with 30,000 bodies of Huguenots, which were French Protestants. And so I want to ask you a little bit. So it's obviously been the backdrop of religious war and conflict in the past, even among, Christian sects. But let's talk about the cathedral for a minute before we get back to the Islamic problem in Paris and in France. 1063 is when the cathedral was begun in its construction. Have you actually seen Notre Dame? You visited it there. You toured it?
Yes, several times. And it's beautiful. The history goes back. I mean, you have St. Louis, King Louis the Ninth of France. He leaves and fights the Seventh and Eighth Crusades against the Muslims. There in Paris, unfortunately, you have Francis the First, who's he? He was, during the 16th century, captured by the King of Spain, forced to give up some territories. When he's let out, he makes a treaty with the Ottoman Turks. And so from Francis the First on, you have France supplying arms and upgrading the Ottoman Turkish military because of its hatred towards Spain. And so they begin to bring over immigrants and so forth. But the cathedral still stayed. During the French Revolution, Robespierre puts a prostitute on the altar in Notre Dame, covers her with a sheet, and said, "This is the goddess of reason. Let's worship her." But the building still survived. And then, of course, the 1800s, you have the Hunchback of Notre Dame, and Victor Hugo writes it, and Les Miserables takes place there in Paris, the famous plays, and it survived World War I. It survived World War II. And the thing is, it was illuminated with what? Candles. For its entire history, it was illuminated with candles. It never caught on fire, which makes it sort of suspicious that, gee, how come all of a sudden it caught on fire? It's leaves a lot of questions.
Well, there are, and there was an investigation. The president of France, Macron, he actually went to a police station. By the way, we want to say that we're praying for the French people. We're praying for a spiritual awakening among the French people. I think there was heroics with the emergency services, the firemen that went in, the police that went in, actually some of the clergymen that went in and everyday citizens that went in to try to rescue many of the antiquities from the fire. And it was really a miracle. The altar was saved. Much of the stained glass was saved.
The round, very famous round window called the rose window there.
Yes.
Survived. That surprised me.
Well, I want to see that. I got to say, we didn't see Notre Dame Cathedral when we were there. We were over by the Louvre and Museum d'Orsay and other places in the city. Our son went there. We kind of split up for the day, and he went over to Notre Dame, and we went to the museums. And so we didn't get to see it on this trip. Maybe in a future trip, I'd love to. Now, of course, I don't know if it's a realistic goal. The president of France has said within 5 years they'll have it reconstructed. Well, I like his aggression. His commitment and determination. But I think it's a moment for this famed nation and Actually, it appeals to their patriotism, something they've not seen. They've seen we're more of a nation of the world and of the European Union and anything else. But now he actually referenced the French Republic. I think that's interesting, and I think it's significant. I also want to say that, you know, it's something we need to be praying for these people. There's a spiritual awakening. Bill, your thoughts?
God loves us. He wants us to love him back. He doesn't need our love, but he wants it. And love by nature has to be voluntary, so he can't force it. The moment he forces it, our response is no longer love. And so he sets up this thing called, we call reality, that basically gives us as humans the opportunity to choose him. And he can't force it, but he does have plan A and plan B. Plan A is he blesses us so much, we turn to him out of gratefulness. If that doesn't work, there's plan B. He withholds the blessings, and we turn to him out of desperation. Mm. Bad things happen ultimately because God wants us to turn to him so that he can be there and answer it. But he wants us to turn to him, but he can't force it. And so here our response is that when things are bad, we need to turn to him. And so not, all a nation is a bunch of individuals. And so as individuals turn to him, as nations turn to him, and I do think that you know, one of the things you see in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it lists blessings and cursings. If a nation hearkens to the voice of the Lord, they will be blessed. They'll be above and up, beneath head, not the tail. But it does say that if a nation does not hearken to the voice of the Lord, these curses will come upon them. One of them is the stranger will come in amongst you, and they will rise up above you, and they will be the head, and you will be the tail. They will be above, and you'll be beneath, and they'll lend to you, and you'll have to borrow. How did God judge ancient Israel? He let the stranger come in. The Amalekite, Hittite, Moabite, Edomite, the Philistines, the parasites, the mosquito bites, all the ites, right? And they came in and they would oppress the children of Israel, rise up above them. Until when? Until the children of Israel repented, sought the Lord, and then he raised up a deliverer, a little nobody who's small and humble in his own eyes, but steps out in faith and God delivers them. And I think that the same God of the Bible is here today. And I think that we've been aborting babies and changing his definition of marriage, right?
Yes.
Jesus says in the beginning, God made them male and female. And so we're changing up, and God's been blessing us tremendously. And to a large extent, we as a nation in the world have put off turning to him. And so we're basically telling him, God, plan A is not working. It's plan B. And so he's like, okay, we're going to let things heat up a little bit. But the goal is to have us turn to him. So I'm encouraged to hear your experience of being over there and seeing that there being a revival. And I think this is so important. And so there's hope. Why is it important to preserve Western civilization? Do you like the idea of the individual? That came from the Bible. There's in all the other groups, whether it's Sharia, whether it's communism, your identity is with the group. If you can benefit the group, you get some emotional support. If you are a hindrance to the group, you want to leave the group, you're worthless, you're targeted, you're killed. In the Judeo-Christian frame of you know, concept, your worth is because you're an individual made in the image of God, whether or not you're part of a group. Matter of fact, it even says you have to be willing to be ostracized from the group. Jesus says you have to love me more than the group, more than being accepted by your mother, sister, brother, whatever. Ecclesia means called out. We're called out from the group to be have a personal, individual relationship with him. Anyway, I know I got a little preachy there, but I do think there is a spiritual response that needs to take place. And the idea of Western civilization is basically the individual. If you like being equal, if you like choosing where you want to go to church, who you want to marry, what neighborhood you want to live in, what career you want to pursue, if you want to make these choices, then you like Western civilization, which goes back to these biblical concepts.
We're talking with Bill Fetter. He is one of the keynote speakers at the upcoming Spring Freedom Banquet of the Ohio Christian Alliance at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton. That's Friday, May 10th. 6 p.m. is the reception. 7 o'clock is the dinner. And you can register online at ohioca.org, or you can phone 330-887-1922. You want to visit Bill's website. That's AmericanMinute.com. That's AmericanMinute.com. A lot of his famous books are there. America's God and Country, Encyclopedia of Quotations, The American Minute, Miracles, Volume 1 and 2. This is Miracles in the American History of How God Has Intervened Providentially on behalf of our nation when we were seeking him. Prayers and Presidents, another book. We'll have Bill will have books available at his book table the night of the banquet. We're also going to have Congressman Bill Johnson, who is the original sponsor of the D-Day prayer. MC will be Bob France and State Representative former State Representative Danny Bupp, who ran the resolution through the Ohio State House to support the initiative and is a retired Marine colonel. And we'll also have World War II reenactors. Again, this is Friday, May 10th at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton. Bill, I want to get back to something before we close, because there has been the suspicion of these. Obviously, was Notre Dame a victim of an arsonist attack? That has not been determined by the officials, but there has been acts of desecration, vandalism, and fires of other cathedrals around the nation of France. So what's your thoughts on that right now, when they have such this open border policy with many Middle Eastern Muslims coming into France, and there's no go zones, and there seems to be trouble ahead? Your thoughts?
875 Catholic churches in France were vandalized in 2018. 875 churches vandalized. This has never happened before in history. And so the thought is, what's happened within the last couple of years that would cause this? Well, there is a lot of Islamic immigration into France and into Western countries. Let's look at Turkey. Turkey used to be the Byzantine Christian Empire. It was Christian for 1,500 years, right? This is where the Apostle Paul visited Ephesus and Colossae, Galatia, all these cities. And they survived Attila the Hun, wiping out Western Europe. The Byzantine Empire, Constantinople, survived. But then the Ottoman Turks invaded. And the year was 1453. And you see these churches destroyed, turned into mosques, vandalized. You go to a northern area there in Ani, the letters A-N-I, Ani. It used to be like a capital of Armenia, but it's in northern Turkey. It was a city of 1,001 churches. It's leveled. The ruins are still there. And then we see Boko Haram. 800 churches have been destroyed within the last year or so in Nigeria. We see this happening all across these world. In England, 500 churches were closed last year and 400 mosques opened up. One of the problems was the churches are not preaching the gospel with any conviction, and they're embracing the LGBT agenda. The average church in England has 28 members. Big, I've visited these churches. I've gone to some of their services. Big, huge churches. And it's like an empty cavern with a couple dozen people that gather for the service. And there's the life is not there. And right across the street, you have 4,000 Muslims packing into a mosque. And so the timetable for Western civilization is clicking. And the America situation, we're a couple steps ahead of Europe, but it's gone from a Judeo-Christian Europe to a secular gay Europe, and now it's turning into an Islamic Europe. And anyway, I do hope that there is a return to our Judeo-Christian values, especially in America.
Absolutely, before it's too late. Thank you, Bill, for joining me today. And again, that's Bill Fetter of the American Minute, AmericanMinute.com. He is one of our keynote speakers at the upcoming Spring Freedom Banquet. The information is on our website at ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Happy Easter, Resurrection Day, as the Lord, He triumphs over death, hell, and the grave. Happy Easter to you and your family. God bless, and thanks for listening.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy in the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to those veterans who served us in World War II. The Ohio Christian Alliance has led the effort to add the prayer. The Spring Freedom Banquet is Friday, May 10th at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton, with speakers historian Bill Federer, Congressman Bill Johnson, and World War II reenactors. To register, log on to ohioca.org, ohioca.org. And we're back, and we're going to continue our discussion on Ohio's heartbeat bill. The legislation actually has a new name, the Human Rights and Heartbeat Protection Act. As it passed the Ohio House Committee yesterday, is on the Ohio House floor as we speak, and then once it passes there, we'll go to the Senate for concurrence, and then it is anticipated that Governor DeWine will sign it into law next week. Ohio will be one of 22 states that are moving forward with the heartbeat bill. Here's a note for you. We want to invite you to our Spring Freedom Banquet, which is Friday, May 10th. Mark your calendars for that. That will be at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton, the Ohio Christian Alliance Spring Freedom Banquet. This year, we are focusing on the D-Day Prayer Project, the final phase for placement of the prayer of D-Day at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. As you know, this is the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landings. There are World War II veterans that are still with us. This prayer will be a lasting tribute to those veterans that served us in World War II, and it will be placed on the Mall in Washington at the World War II Memorial. June 6th, we'll have an observance there at the memorial and probably announcement of our progress with the addition of the D-Day prayer. And of course, my wife and I just came back from Europe as we were at the American cemeteries outside of Paris and also in Normandy. And we'll have some more information for you about that on our website at the Christian Alliance of America and Ohio Christian Alliance. Our speakers that night, our MC, will be Bob France, radio personality here on the Salem stations of Cleveland, Bill Federer, author and historian, Congressman Bill Johnson, former state representative, current judge in Adams County, that's Danny Bupp, will be with us. He'll be in uniform as he is retired Marine colonel. We'll also have World War II reenactors and other special guests. Come out and join us. You need to register for the dinner, and that's at our website at ohioca.org, and we hope that you'll be with us on Friday, May 10th. With me on the phone is a group of pastors, as from time to time we have on this program a roundtable, and we need to hear from the clergy pertaining to the issues of our day. And right now we're seeing a spiritual battle and conflict over life in the womb. It is a death and life struggle, ladies and gentlemen, as we see what happened in the state of New York. The legislature there last year legalizing abortion through the ninth month and beyond. We're hearing in Virginia about discussion of infanticide, what to do with a child that's unwanted after it's born. This is unbelievable that we're hearing this in our day and age. But if we as Christians of God's people that have the spirit of life in us don't speak up, shame on us. But we're going to speak up. We have voices and we're going to herald them for life. With me on the phone is Pastor Mark Abel. He is from Ashland, Ohio. We have Pastor Gary Click, who is with us as well, and Pastor John Coates, who also served on Ohio Right to Life's board. He was the executive director from 2011 to through 2012. He is also currently the pastor of Metropolitan Church of God in Christ and president of Interdenominational Ministries Alliance of Columbus and Vicinity. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Chris.
Well, thank you, man. Of course, this is this is a big day. This is historic. What's happening in Columbus? We just got a report from our attorney who's there at the State House, and he said it was the legislators had to walk through a gauntlet of protesters. We anticipated that. Those who support Planned Parenthood and NARAL, these folks come and they try to jeer pro-life legislators. It's not an easy go, but these men and women, thank God, they're determined. They know they're representing their constituents. Elections mean something. Pastor Gary, you were all over the state encouraging pastors to engage last election and vote pro-life, vote your Bible, vote your religious conscience as Christians. Your thoughts on today?
Absolutely, Chris. This is a historic moment. As we talk right now, I'm watching the Ohio channel. I can't listen because I'm here on the radio with you, but I'm just watching this. And boy, my heart is thrilled. I wish I could be there in person to walk right through those protesters with them because, you know, we are defined by those who oppose us sometimes. And that culture of death is just disgusting. And it breaks my heart that people would even think that it is even reasonable or rational to take the life of an innocent child, a child that feels pain, a child created in the image of God. I was listening to Representative Ginter just a few moments ago, and he just went right through the scriptures, Jeremiah 1:5, I ordained thee a prophet, before I formed these. Why would he ordain a fetus as a prophet if it's not a person? Went through Psalm 139, I've numbered your parts. Why would he number the parts of a fetus that is not a person? A Baptist, filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. How can a fetus be filled with the Holy Ghost if it is not a person? And I love that bold proclamation of scriptures right on the floor. And you got it right, Chris. I was campaigning out there for Mike DeWine because Mike DeWine has a heart for children, a heart for people. And he promised from the very beginning, he said, I will sign the heartbeat bill. And if there's no other reason, that's the reason for me.
Well, that's right. And, elections matter. And so, the Ohio Christian Alliance, we surveyed the candidates on the heartbeat bill question going back 8 years now. Once it was first introduced in 2011, we put it in our survey to the candidates. Would you prohibit an abortion when a heartbeat is detectable? And Mike DeWine indicated in the affirmative. His opponent, Richard Cordray, in the negative. It was on the front page of the Ohio Christian Alliance voter guide that we distribute to thousands of churches and congregants all across the state of Ohio so people can have an informed decision. These are the answers that the candidates gave themselves. This is their position. And so Ohioans resoundingly voted for Mike DeWine. He's had a long, illustrious career of being pro-life. I had no question that he would support this legislation when his predecessor, a Republican, John Kasich, vetoed the bill twice to the chagrin of many. Yeah. Pastor Mark Abel, your thoughts on today?
Well, it is, I think you said it earlier, it's a surprise to me that in 2019, we still have this debate over life.
Right.
We look at the culture and we wonder why we have the problems that we have, the crime rates, the different things. And it's because we teach that first we come from an amoeba and second that we don't matter, that life doesn't matter. If we would teach that there's a all-powerful, all-knowing God that we're accountable to, who died for us, who loved us, I think that would probably do more than any bill or anything we could pass to protect life. But I found it interesting in today's paper, up here, Representative Jeanine Boyd, the Democrat from Cleveland Heights.
Yes.
She sent a letter to Marin last week pleading for the testimony, and she says this, quote, think of the irony of this comment. It's just absurd. She says, we need to hear from those whose voices have not yet been part of this debate. Well, you know what? I agree. Let's listen to the little babies, and let's see what they have to say if they're pro-choice or pro-death. You know, I mean, I can't even believe that a person would be so unable to understand the irony of her own words demonstrating the ignorance behind that stance. It is amazing to me.
Well, that's right. And actually, she made an emotion for an amendment to the legislation yesterday. Pastor John Coates, that had to be disturbing to you to see that that measure that she was. She's an African-American representative, and she was adding an amendment that would exclude African-American women from this legislation. That means that black children would be aborted. I don't understand that. Your thoughts?
It was disturbing. It's disturbing. I'm at the State House now. I just stepped out of the gallery, and it's been disturbing to hear the attempt after attempt after attempt to amend the heartbeat bill with foolish amendments, including the one that was just referenced. But I have to be reminded of history. You know, the African-American community has been targeted for a long time.
Yes.
Margaret Sanger, the eugenicist, her Negro project was real. It's not fiction. This really happened, and it's really happening. African-American pastors, leadership, the community has been targeted by pro-eugenicists for decade after decade after decade. So we see a foolish argument made again in an attempt to prolong the process and to delay this historic vote from taking place.
And it's not a partisan measure. You know, actually, I've heard liberal Democrats decry the fact and saying, why are these Planned Parenthood clinics in black neighborhoods? Why do they set up shop there? And to eliminate the future of the next black generation? This is liberals talking. So, you know, we welcome it as pro-life Christians. We're saying, hey, come on board. We may not agree with everything in policy, but hey, we agree on life issue and it comes first. Your thoughts, Pastor?
Absolutely. And I felt that was the argument that should have been made because of the history of abuse, because of the history of discrimination, because of the horrible things that African Americans have suffered as in our sojourn in America. Then to suggest that the number one killing method of black people should continue. Black women represent 8% of the population of the state of Ohio, but still have nearly 38% of the abortions. And I believe that is because of targeting, because of target marketing, because of target location planning of where these clinics are located at. They're walking distance for every urban area in our state. And it's the same thing reflected throughout America. That is the argument that needs to be made. That's what we're fighting against. Abortion decreased in every area in our state, with the exception of the black community. And being engaged in the pro-life movement directly, and then witnessing those numbers myself, it was amazing to watch it decrease in different communities, but watch those numbers maintain or increase in urban areas. And the highest area in the state of Ohio is within Cuyahoga County.
Well, these people are ignorant to the fact of what is actually going on here. And, you know, I was pleased that we were able to present proponent testimony actually on a day that was all testimony, but actually most of the those who came in to testify were opponents that day. So rather than preaching to the choir, I'm glad that our expert witness, Dr. Kathy Altman, and our attorney, Josh Brown, were presenting in a room full of opponents waiting to testify, and the chairman gave us opportunity to go first, so they all were listening to Dr. Altman, who herself, as an OBGYN from Florida and a former director of a Planned Parenthood clinic, and also an abortionist. She actually performed abortion in the first and second trimester, and you could hear a pin drop when she was testifying. And she
said, "I was present. I was present during that testimony. Both of those powerful testimonies, and you know, and I think it should be said. And I thank you, Chris. I thank the Ohio Christian Alliance for being leaders in this movement and providing expert testimony along those lines. It was very effective and very powerful."
And she testified in that, you know, it wasn't until her own child was born, and she also had an abortion herself, earlier on. And then when her child was born, then she realized it went from being a fetus to a baby. And she could no longer agree with or do abortions, even though she agreed with a woman's right to choose. But then she changed from that point as well. And she said, well, you know, it was not my position to kill the child. And so strong words, but true words. And the committee was moved by that. But, you know, it's a, you know, their eyes are darkened. And it's a spiritual warfare. And that's why I had you gentlemen join me today, because we pray for our nation. We watch this debate back and forth. And we're seeing some of that down there at the State House today, you know, some shouting going on and some disruption. Josh Brown, our attorney, was relating to us what he had seen today and jeering at the legislators. And, you know, that's just really, it's unacceptable. It's not the way democracy or our republic should be practicing. Pastor, you've been down there today. You saw some of that as well, Pastor John?
I walked through that crowd, yes, and they're cheering. Many of them are certainly disrespectful to the reverence of the building and what is actually occurring here. But there's a movement that's taking place in this country, and it's a movement where people are taking evil and now calling it good. It's that type of thing that's happening, and it's unfortunate and it's sad. To see the National Day of Prayer is approaching, and not that we should only pray on that day. We should pray every day.
Yes,
because prayer is needed. But one thing that I really like about the pattern of prayer and the National Day of Prayer is that it begins with repentance. With repentance, and as a nation, we need to repent. We need to repent and then go forth and praying that God would forgive us of our sins, and that we'd go on to bless our nation. But this abortion issue is a horrible scourge on the face of this nation.
You know, as we see the radical left and the pro-aborts and really the death movement, I have to say the culture of death, pushing further in states like New York and Virginia and on the West Coast in Washington State and Oregon, considering basically euthanasia of Alzheimer's patients, of all things. Unbelievable. We're seeing young people beginning to wake up, and we're seeing it in the movie theaters with this movie, Unplanned. The live testimony of Abby Johnson, the former Planned Parenthood director, clinic director. It's her story, and it's breaking records at the. It's doing very well at the movies. Pastor Click, your thoughts on that?
Well, I have not been able to see that movie yet. I want to get out to see it, and I've heard a lot of great things about it. And I think Pastor Coates really hit on a great theme there. I think one of the things that we must remember is that this battle takes place on many fronts. And today we are challenging it on the legal front, on the legislative front, and that is very, very necessary. But beyond that, there's this new phrase that's being used out by the millennials. It's called woke. You know, it's a form of being awakened. And I think there is an awakening among a lot of young people. They are now calling themselves the pro-life generation. And even once we change the law, and I'm grateful that we're doing that, we need to remember that we still have to touch people's hearts. There are a lot of ladies out there who have been in those circumstances, who have had those abortions, who are hurting and who are suffering, and we need to carry the message of hope, grace, forgiveness, and God's love to them. And we need to reach the hearts of more young people, letting them see that this is a life and that it is not just legally wrong once it's passed, but it's still morally wrong and an affront to God, and help people to make right and wise decisions. One of the things that stunned me several years ago when I began studying a little more in depth is that 64% of women who have had an abortion say that they felt coerced into the abortion. So this is really, the pro-life movement is actually a women's rights movement. Usually these young ladies feel pressure from their boyfriends, sometimes from a husband, but sometimes from an assailant as well. And I've even heard some stories from some ladies who work in some of these crisis pregnancy centers where parents, even Christian parents, have taken their daughters to have an abortion because they were afraid of shame.
And boy, that just breaks my heart. What we have to reach the hearts. The battle's not over once we win this victory. There's still going to be a battle for the hearts and souls. And I'm just reminded what Paul said. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And we need to get the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ to the young people in our community today.
Amen, Pastor. I want you all to hang there for a minute. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back on the other side. If you have a scripture verse you want to share with us with some closing thoughts, we're going to do that. We're talking to our pastor's panel. We'll be right back as we're discussing the heartbeat bill. And we did just get word that it has passed the Ohio House. It's going to the Ohio Senate for concurrence. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy and the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to those veterans who served us in World War II. The Ohio Christian Alliance has led the effort to add the prayer. The Spring Freedom Banquet is Friday, May 10th at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton, with speakers historian Bill Federer, Congressman Bill Johnson, and World War II reenactors. To register, log on to ohioca.org, ohioca.org. And we're back, and we're talking about the Ohio Heartbeat Bill, Senate Bill 23, which is now known as the Human Rights and Heartbeat Protection Act. I like that title. They amended that yesterday. It just passed the Ohio House. It's going over to the Ohio Senate for concurrence on its changes and then on to Governor DeWine's desk. This is a momentous day in Ohio, and it is a wonderful pro-life step for Ohio, which has passed a lot of pro-life legislation over the years. And we do pray. We pray for our nation. We pray for those whose hearts are still darkened when it comes to life in the womb. With us on our pastor's panel this afternoon is Pastor Mark Abel, Pastor Gary Click, and Pastor John Coates. Gentlemen, let's go to Pastor Abel. Your thoughts. You got a scripture verse to share with us, Pastor, what you're thinking about, how we should pray?
Yeah, absolutely. I think about Romans 1, where we talk about where Paul writes about the depraved mind. And this is, I think, what we're seeing in our world. And not even, you know, we talk about the protesters and things, and you have to think about verse 31, where it talks about, you know, how they're depraved. And not only those that do these things, but also those that, you know, give hearty approval to those who practice them. And if there ever was a verse that would say that we are responsible for how we vote, that's definitely it. And we look at this world, we see how depraved it is, and we see, I struggle with wondering why they want to think that way in light of the obvious truth of the heartbeat. Even atheists, like the famous Christopher Hitchens, who was one of the new atheists who didn't believe in God, he has a quote that says, in order to terminate a pregnancy, you have to still a heartbeat to switch off a developing brain. And it makes no sense logically, morally, and especially for us spiritually, to allow this to continue. So praise God in heaven that we've taken this step so far today. But, Don't be surprised. The evil one is at work. We have fallen, sinful human natures, and that great mind is still alive and well.
Amen. Pastor John, what are you thinking? Pastor
John. First of all, I'm grateful for everything that everyone has offered today. The men of God that's standing in the gap in this most critical time. I simply believe from a scriptural standpoint that we should continue to look to the hills from which cometh our help.
Amen.
Our help comes from the Lord. It comes from God. From above, we have so many issues, so many things to concentrate on, so much to do, and we cannot do any of it without the help of God. And thank you, Pastor Gary, for reminding us that we are concerned about the women in our society, women in our community, that many of which are suffering because of other ills of our society. And we are about healing, not killing. Yeah. So may God continue to guide and be a lamp unto the feet of all the men of God and the women of God throughout our state, throughout this nation, as we continue to do the work that God called us to do.
Well, that's right. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And we need to be able to speak confidently into a darkened world right now and people that are just lost, who do not have an understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not have an understanding of spiritual things, and they are gravitating towards the prince of this world, which is the prince of darkness. And that's what we're seeing demonstrated at the Ohio State House. How could anybody advocate for the killing of innocent life in the womb except they be spiritually indiscerned? They cannot understand what exactly they're doing. They're in darkness. And so, the Bible says that men love darkness rather than light, lest their deeds should be reproved. We need to pray for these people that their eyes be open and that the pulpits actually start coming awake. And, gentlemen, we're going to have you back because I believe there's an awakening in God's house right now. We've been visiting some churches, and I tell you, it's just been different ones right now. And younger pastors, I'm telling you, they are preaching beyond their experience. The only way that can be happening is if the Holy Ghost is actually starting to give them unction and bringing the Word of God to life. Isn't that so?
Yes. God bless you.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, pastors, thank you. Pastor Mark Abel, thank you for joining us. Pastor Gary Click, Pastor John Coates, a joy to have all you men on today and to hear your wisdom and your thoughts today. Brethren, we're just going to be in prayer. As Pastor John, you said, we just need to be praying as a nation. We need to be praying as a church, and that God send His holy fire down in an awakening in our land. That's what we need. Thank you all for joining us today. God bless you, men.
And thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Well, if you missed any of our program today, you can catch it in its entirety at our website at ohioca.org. And we come to you each week at this time. Thanks for listening, and tell a friend. God bless you. Thank you all.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.